Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, happy Tuesday and welcome to P4P Real Talk. You guys know the drill. This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. I hope everyone is having a fantastic evening tonight, and you are in for a real treat indeed. Tonight we have Mr. Jim Evans with us, one of the pioneers of natural bodybuilding, as I'm told, and this is it's what we're about to find out. Sorry, stumbling over my words a little bit tonight, but Jim, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How's everybody doing at that end?
Hey, you know, so far so good. We're minus
right.
Kalen at the moment, but we're hoping to have him join us here shortly. So I appreciate you being able to take the time and joining us tonight. And if you wouldn't mind, could you please give our listeners a little background information about yourself and who you are and what you do and, you know, all of those great details?
Well, I started the North American Natural Bodybuilding Federation back in, 1983, 84, somewhere in there, a long time ago. And,
wow.
Anyway, so then I've been associated with the sport ever since. I turned the organization over to my state chairman after about 5 or 6 years and let them take it from there. And they eventually changed the name a little bit from NAMBA to NAMBUF. And good people like Fred Roulette took over, and they've done a wonderful job in keeping the organization going. It's stronger than ever, and I definitely appreciate what they've done in the meantime.
That is amazing. And so when Kaylin had told me he was asking you to be on the show, I knew that you had deep roots in natural bodybuilding, but I guess I didn't realize how deep they went. And, you know, I am a little awestruck because NAMBF is the organization that I started competing under, so I feel like,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's my home. I'm just amazed when I'm talking to the man that started it all. I mean, how did that all happen?
Well, it was, you know, I've always known that the performance-enhancing drugs were out there. I became exposed to it originally in college. We had guys from the Ohio State Weightlifting Club that were taking them. And, you know, it wasn't as well known as it is right now, but it was going on. And then in around 1982, 83, I started a company in Minnesota. So I had five gyms in Minnesota at the time. And
okay.
Two young fellows walked in. They were 14 years old one day, and they came in with their father and signed up on a membership. And the reason they joined was precisely because we didn't try to push the steroids on them in the gym. And the father was very thankful for that. And they came in and worked out for a while, and they were doing well. And then all of a sudden they disappeared. I didn't see them for several months. And they came back in one day, and I could tell what had happened. I mean, each of these young men had put on about 20, 25 pounds. Their attitude was different. They were bigger. Somebody got to them with the juice. And I told myself at that point, you know, enough is enough. I can't just sit by and let this happen. I can't sit by and let young people be taken over by this. I've got to do something. So at that point, I decided to start a natural organization, start drug testing, provide an alternative for people. And we went through a lot of growing pains because we got a lot of resistance from the NPC and the people that were dealing in drugs. They didn't like what we were doing.
Yeah,
I had
sure.
the front door of my business was smashed in. I was physically assaulted, and they threatened the lives of my family. And there were only about three natural organizations in the country at the time. And one of my good friends, Jack Oblinus, was in Southern California in the L.A. area. And Jack went through some similar things, maybe even a little bit worse. They blew up his truck. They blinded his dog.
Oh, my God.
He had to hire bodyguards to take with him to every contest. We're talking about drug dealers. That's what it amounts to. And it hasn't changed over the years. It's still the same thing. They're still dealing in the illegal drugs. And they don't like it when somebody interferes with their business. That's the bottom line. So we're still fighting the same battle 30-some years later.
Oh, my gosh. I am just blown away. I mean, I knew the struggle was still out there, and I know that there are so many people out there that aren't even aware that natural bodybuilding is an option for them. And, in fact, even just today, I was copied in on a Facebook post of a young woman lamenting that, you know, someone had told her that, you know what, if she wanted to get into bodybuilding, that she needed to take steroids, and that as a woman, especially, that she couldn't develop a body, you know, good enough to compete without the use of steroids. And she was just like, you know what, if this is the way it is, then I just fell out of love with this sport. And I was just blown away that that is still the mindset that is out there. And I shouldn't be, because I see it, but I guess I don't really see it to that degree. And to find out that you were up against such big odds and you started something anyway, or continue to grow something anyway, that has been just making gangbusters for people out there who want an alternative. Again, I'm, like I said, I'm starstruck. I just don't even know what to say about that. Just thank you, for one.
Well, I appreciate that. It's more of a, I feel like I'm spitting in the wind, though, because the problem's worse than ever. The availability of steroids is greater than ever. You can buy them on the internet. There are still the dealers out there in virtually every gym in the country. They're selling them. The young people are getting them. And the bottom line is, most people don't care. They really don't care. Unless it impacts them personally, they really don't care. That's the unfortunate part of it. It's in every sport. You know, when you see it in golf and swimming and tennis and things like that, it's in every sport now. And there aren't enough people out there fighting to stop it. It's not a priority, and so it's going to continue to grow. And I'm not sure what the answer is, because if the public doesn't care, what's going to stop it? It's very frustrating.
Yeah, you know, and I feel your frustration, and I would have to agree with you. You know, I think it is growing, but I still think there's a silver lining on it. I mean, come on, natural bodybuilding is still growing. And it's, you see more organizations popping up and promoters just as passionate as they always, maybe I wouldn't say as they always were, but maybe as they never have been before. So, I mean, I don't know that we can slow the tide of the other end of it, but, I mean, I think we can definitely take heart in the way that things are continuing to grow and improve on the natural side. Don't you think?
Well, let's be political for a minute. Why do we have more than 50 different why are there more than 50 different organizations in natural bodybuilding?
Good question. We ask that question a lot.
The only sport, except for powerlifting, first of all, drugs have divided the sport of bodybuilding. The only two sports in the world that have two divisions, drug tested and not tested, are powerlifting and bodybuilding. Primarily bodybuilding. The only two sports in the world. That's it. Because we've allowed it to happen. The drugs have really destroyed the sport of bodybuilding. Those aren't bodybuilders we see up on stage anymore. They're freaks. But we've let it happen. Because we always go with this thing of bigger and better and stronger and all that type of thing. But natural bodybuilding has hurt itself. If natural bodybuilders could unite under one banner, with a common drug, with a common banned substance list, with common rules and regulations, common promoters, all of this. If they could just join together, if they could just work together, they would be a powerful force to be able to withstand the people that are on drugs. But they won't do it. Instead, every time somebody gets dissatisfied with something, with one organization and the way they're running it, what do? They go off and start another organization. They can't get along with each other. Now, is the attendance increasing and the participation increasing overall? Sure, because you have more people. But why can't they work together to make the sport what it truly could be, to make it as great as it really could be? I don't know. That's the frustration of it. And every year there'll be more and more natural organizations. Why? There isn't another sport in the world that has more than 50 different organizations representing it. Think about it. They're not another sport in the whole world. Why is that? It just doesn't make sense.
You know, that's not the first time that.
having trouble understanding at this end. Still there?
Sorry.
Yeah,
yeah,
keep still there.
I'm sorry about that. I had to stop.
That's okay.
For just a second.
That's
I'm
okay.
So sorry. But
that's
okay. And Kaylin has joined us, so that's a plus.
Yeah, I heard his big voice. I heard his big deep voice there. I didn't think that was you, unless you got a frog in your throat.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. And
that's
no,
a big
I'm
frog.
Not. I'm not taking any of the juice, so we don't have to worry about that either.
Right.
Okay, well, you know that it's a dial-in show. Sometimes things happen. Apologies
oh,
across
yeah.
the board. But so, Kaylin, I don't know how much you heard of the last question, but Jim was just pretty much breaking it down on, you know, that drugs have pretty much divided the bodybuilding sport. We are the only sport that has two sanctions, drug tested and non-drug tested, and that as far as the natural end of the world, you know, why is it that we have 50 different organizations and basically that we can't get along? And the question is,
mm-hmm.
why is that? Why can't we get along? Why can't we unite? Why can't we have a more unified front on the natural side of things? And I know you've got some strong opinions about that, too, because we've talked about this before.
Oh, yes. And we are still talking about it because the one thing that confuses me is, like, if there's a standard for what, you know, and I hate to put in parentheses what natural is, but, you know, what an athlete should be taking, you know, like food, you know, supplementation, stuff like that. Yeah, you know, it's like even that has been considered, like, there's been so much that wants to be taken away that really just harms an individual instead of basically making it about good health and fitness. And I like think, like Jim was saying, where, you know, okay, well, then this should be acceptable and this should be acceptable. It gets to the point where it's like, okay, well, then that's not natural. And, you know, like I said, it's almost, what do we talk about where it's almost like NPC light just
mm-hmm.
to compete? And I said, then what's the point? Because, you know, a really natural athlete, and I've spoken about this plenty of times, doesn't need a urine test to prove that they're natural. They don't need a poly to prove that they're natural because this is their life. This is how they go
yep.
about living day by day. And
yep.
you have people that basically step on stage with the intent to cheat. And that's why, you know, it seems like we've got, everybody's got this new mousetrap that they're going to have to skin this this mouse, you know, and hopefully still be considered a natural organization. And that's frustrating because it's taking away from the whole point and scheme of what it was all about.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And we keep trying to reinvent the wheel. Now, all these other
and
sports
I think that's
in the world,
it.
Let's take yeah, but here you've got soccer and swimming and track and field and all these different, hundreds and hundreds of different sports all over the world and so forth. And they compete in the Olympics, they compete in their world championships and so forth, and they all use common guidelines. They have their rules and regulations, but regarding drug use and so forth, they all follow the WADA standard. Why can't natural bodybuilders follow the WADA standard? Instead, the organizations try to make exceptions to the WADA standard.
Yes.
Instead of, they want to reinvent the wheel. No, that's not good for our sport. You already have the gold standard out there with WADA. Why not stick
mm-hmm.
with WADA like every other sport in the world? But no. That's not good enough for our sport. We've got our sport. This particular drug wouldn't apply to our sport. And this particular drug doesn't apply. And so they make exceptions. Let's stop with the exceptions. Go with the gold standard like everybody else and make it work. But no, they just can't seem to do that. They've got to differentiate themselves from other natural organizations, so they find a way to do it by making exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what good is all the drug testing that we do in natural bodybuilding anyway if we never know who the cheaters are? That's
exactly.
amazing. They say they're catching people. Well, prove it. Who are they catching? We never know who the cheaters are. The names are never revealed publicly. There's only two organizations that are, the IPL and the PNBA. And even the PNBA, for the number of contests they have, Is that all they're ever catching? You know, one, maybe two a year? Hard to believe. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying nobody's revealing the names of the cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to stop, you want to stop drugs completely in sports, any sport, not just natural bodybuilding, any sport in the world, one and done. Caught one time, you're done. But instead, oh, we can make exceptions. That's not that particular drug. It's not strong enough. It really wouldn't help them that much. It's just caffeine. It's just that. It's just that. Making exceptions again. One and done, and you will clean up the sport overnight. There will never be a problem again. Because anybody, they'll be afraid to cheat. They'll be afraid to get caught, and you get rid of the cheaters overnight. But they won't do it in any sport. But bodybuilding's even worse. They just won't do it at all. At least in Major League Baseball, they're catching some people and revealing the names. Natural bodybuilding, how many people can you name that have failed a drug test in the last 10 years in natural bodybuilding?
Oh, my goodness.
I bet you can't name 10 people.
No.
No, because I can only think of one.
Because nobody knows who they are.
Yeah, he put out there a month ago.
Yeah, so what was the point in the testing in the first place? They might as well not even test. Because if you don't tell the names of the cheaters, what's the point? Doesn't make sense. But and some of the natural organizations are calling themselves natural but aren't testing either. And some of the ones that are testing aren't following a legitimate protocol, or they're going off on their own. They're not using WADA standards. They're using their own standards. So everybody's all over the board. It is probably the most ununified sport of all the sports in the world right now. They just won't work together. And it's too bad, because if they did, what a powerhouse natural bodybuilding could be. They want more publicity. They want more sponsor money. Well, it isn't going to happen. They want to get in the Olympics. Fat chance of that ever happening. If you get in the Olympics, you've got to clean up your own act first. They can't even do that. But I'm convinced it's about power. It's about money. It's about ego. Each one of these organizations, and there are some very, very good people in natural bodybuilding. There really are. And a lot of the organizers promoters, people behind it, they're fantastic people. But they can't get along with each other. They can't come to a common agreement on anything. But anyway, it's, you could talk about it forever. I don't know what the answer is. I've had two summits, and I've tried to bring people together, and I was able to bring a lot of these top organizations together and sit down at the table and talk. They can't even get along at the same table. It's crazy.
And I would just love to be for that to actually be an actual live event that we can all watch via YouTube or whatever live stream, whatever it would take, just to see the real and get the BS out of the way. Because, you know, a lot of times it's almost like, it's almost like Congress, where you're basically hearing one thing, which is a nice spiel, but then when you actually sit down in the room, you basically see who lobbied for what. And who got what? Because, like you said, it's basically sometimes where you have, and I do put this in quotes because I was very offended by some of the organizations when I found out, well, you know, this is an exception and this is an exception.
Yeah,
and people
are
actually accepting HRT and HG because, you know, in a prescription amount, then, of course, it's supposed to be legal. And I said legal doesn't define natural.
That's right.
Because there's plenty
that's
of
right.
legal things you can get, but they're not natural at all.
Yeah. And I don't know if we're going to hear from anybody today, but a lot of people out there listening are going to totally disagree with what we're talking about. They say, well, just, you know, it's not a big deal. We should just let people, it's a choice. Let them do what they want. I wrote an article about a year or so ago, and I'm going to briefly mention that because I think it gets to the crux of the problem. What if steroids were legal so that anybody could use them anytime they wanted for any sport? Now, the average fan out there of any sport wouldn't care because all they want to see is the performance. They want to see the bigger bodies. They want to see the faster guy on the track field, the heavy-duty knockout puncher, whatever the sport might be. They just want to see the performance. They don't care what they do or how they get there. They don't care anything about the welfare of the athlete. If the athlete dies or gets sick, too bad. That's, you know, that's shame on him. But other than
they
don't care.
Yeah.
Until it becomes personal. But here's the scenario, and people don't they somehow kind of put this in the back of their mind. When you reach a certain age and you get married and you have a family and you have kids, and all of a sudden, let's say one day you've got a 7-year-old son and he wants to play Little League football. So you take them over to the first practice for the tryouts and everything, and you look around and see all the little seven-year-olds are juiced. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What's your choice? You're either going to put your own son on the juice, or he's not going to play football. Now, if he's not going to play football, what are you going to tell him? And is he going to accept that? He wants to play football. That's his thing. 7 years old. Now he can't even play Little League football. And then people are going to say, well, no, that's not going to happen at that level. It's already happening.
Yes.
The Taylor Hooten Foundation just posted an article today where they busted a guy in Norway who's been injecting steroids into his son since he was 4 years old.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There's a man in Florida right now who's in prison for 7 years. When his son was 12 years old, he started injecting him with steroids. He was an inline skater. The kid became a world champion. And then his organization started to test. And they caught the kid. He's busted. He's banned for life now from inline skating, and his son's in prison father's in prison for 7 years. It's happening already.
Yes.
So once you have, let's say that people will say, well, just let the pros do it. Let them do whatever they want. But it all has a trickle-down effect because those people who want to become professional at the college level will start doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people in high school will start doing it to get that college scholarship to have the chance to make the pros. It trickles all the way. A domino effect, exactly. So what's going to stop it? Nothing. So the fact is right now we're dealing with illegal drugs in the first place. And even the ones that are legal are not, they're still banned on the WADA banned substance list. But people are always looking for exceptions. And they really don't care until it happens to them personally, until it's their kid or a relative of theirs or a friend of theirs or something who gets cheated out of a medal or has a serious problem, medical problem, something like that. That's the only time they care. I had a friend years ago who was on the track team at a major university here in the United States, and his roommate was also on the track team. They both competed in the same events. The roommate always won. This guy always finished second. He didn't think anything of it. He's just a better athlete. He was a good competitor. About 10 years after he graduated, he found out that all that time his roommate had been juicing. Now he gets upset because he got cheated. He didn't mind. If it's a level playing field and he gets beaten, he can accept that. But to find out that his roommate was cheating all that time, that's the ultimate slap in the face. But it's happening all the time. So in my and I've had this argument with some other people, one and done. You fail a drug test once, you're out. You're gone. It's history. You're never going to compete again, period. But they want to make exceptions to that, too. But anyway, I feel pretty strongly about it. I've been fighting it for a long, long time. And like I said, I don't know what's going to happen with the future of the sport, really. But I'll say this, and Kaylin, you'll know this for sure. If the NPC were to start having truly drug-tested bodybuilding, even if it's a separate division, I mean, not just the makeshift thing they've got right now. I mean, serious, legitimate, natural
bodybuilding. It's a joke,
What would happen if they did that? What would happen to the 50-plus natural organizations that are out there right now?
They would vanish.
They would vanish. There'd be no need for them. So instead of working together to become a powerful force, they're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And eventually it will. Eventually the NPC will say, wait a minute, we've got 50 organizations out there, thousands of natural athletes out there. Why don't we do our own natural stuff and really make it legit? And then you're going to see all these 50 organizations dissolve. They'll fade away. You'll never hear from them again. And we're right back to where we started with the NPC. And then they reach the point
where
they're
back to feeding the beast.
That's right. And now they're dominating everything again. And all the other natural organizations have disappeared. And they say, well, why do we need to spend all this money on drug testing? Let's just do away with the drug testing and just back to the sport of bodybuilding. And we're right back to where we started there, too. So we have an opportunity here. Now, we have an opportunity now with all these organizations, if they could just come together under one umbrella and work together. Again, a common banned substance list, common rules and regulations. But it's power, money, and greed. There's too much money in these organizations right now, and egos, people don't want to give up their positions. They don't want to give up what they worked several years to put together for. And some of them just outright don't like each other. So that's part of it.
And that's very true, yes.
It's a lot to overcome. But I've always dreamed of what if. What if
it
these organizations could finally come? Oh, it would be incredible. Just think, you've got people turning pro right now that, you know, might make $1,000 in one contest. In some cases, you make a little bit more, but for the most part, you're not really getting paid much for as a pro compared to what the NPC or the IFBB is making. It's not even close.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine with all the sponsors out there that are sponsoring natural bodybuilding right now, if everything came under one umbrella, just think how much money you could make it as a professional then. It would really, truly legitimize it.
Yeah.
And do you ever see a natural bodybuilder on a magazine cover anywhere in the stores? No.
No.
We
talk about
it all the time.
It's a sore spot. Well, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right. And then every ad that you see on television where they use a bodybuilder, it's not a natural bodybuilder, is it?
Nope.
Even the media is in on this whole thing. They're looking for the freaks.
Mm-hmm.
And the public doesn't care. The public doesn't see anything except the bodybuilder up there. They don't know the difference. They associate bodybuilding with drugs. The average junkie public out there doesn't know a natural bodybuilding from anything. They don't even know it exists, which is why we don't have the number of people attending our contests the way we should. It's sad. These athletes work so hard to get up there and present themselves in a favorable way, and most people don't even know they exist. That's sad. That's sad. So we got a fight on our hands. And the fight continues.
Yes. We have a fight. And like you're saying, we don't need to fight each other in
that's
that process. And that's basically what's happening is everyone's got their hands up ready to throw down. And the easiest target is your neighbor instead of the actual enemy. And I said, you know, I'm not really understanding how it got to this level other than ego, pride, and whatever. Jealousy, whatever is brewing inside should not be coming from the avenue and street that it's coming from because it's the same neighborhood. It's almost like saying the reason there's the wildlife in the jungle is because your neighbor basically had a mouse that got a little bit too big and good. And it's like, well, what the heck does that have to do with the jungle or the forest? Because we're talking about something that's so minute. Like you're saying, when you're talking about a standard of drug testing to say what is a natural athlete, why wouldn't you piggyback the Olympics? Let's say you turn it the other way, whatever. They still came up with a standard that was sufficient to the whole world.
Yeah.
My goodness. And we're saying, well, that's not enough. That's not enough. We got to go a little bit better, and we got to come up with our own version of it. For what? What's the end game, like you're saying? How can we sustain that if we keep going against exactly what we're asking to be?
Yeah. And, again, the drug testing is a joke. If they say they're drug testing, and I know some organizations are and some aren't, but if you're going to test and never reveal who the cheaters are, what was the point in the testing? What a waste of money. What a waste of everything. There was no point in it whatsoever by not revealing the names of the cheaters. Those cheaters should be publicized out there with the media. They should be calling in the names of the cheaters to the radio stations, to the television stations. They should be out there in the magazines and newspapers and so forth. Let the world know who the cheaters are. There is no greater threat to a natural athlete who cheats than public exposure.
To play devil's advocate, though, what we hear is or have heard from promoters is that, you know what, we don't like to share the names because, you know, just out of respect for that person, okay, they made a mistake, they got
respect
caught.
Respect for a cheater?
Let's move past
respect for
it.
A cheater. Respect for a cheater. Why should a cheater deserve any respect? Yeah. Okay, here's why I think they do it. Most of these organizations do not have a standard drug protocol for testing. Let's look at it this way. The IPL, for example, has caught three people in the first 12 months of its existence, and they revealed the names. The other organizations may or may not have caught even more. But if we don't reveal the names, there was, again, no point in the testing in the first place. I think one reason is because they're afraid of getting sued. But if you have an entry form that has the right legal language and so forth, that gives you a huge layer of protection. And secondly, if the drug testing protocol that you're using in the collection of the samples is legitimate, that can back you up in court if it ever came to that. But I don't think most of them are using a verifiable, valid protocol for the drug testing collection. They might have a witness. Somebody stands in the bathroom and watch people pee in a cup. That's not the same. That's not the same as a legitimate collection process. So when you're not following standard protocol that you use in every other sport in the world for drug test collection, then you're more afraid of going to court and having to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's the big reason. They don't want to get sued, and they're not following the proper protocol in the sample collection. I think those are two of the big reasons. And third, it has to do with, again, not out of respect for the athlete. They just, how do I say it? There's a tendency for even the heads of these natural organizations to have respect for people who use performance enhancing drugs because it's just a choice. I am sick of that word. It's not just a choice. It's illegal, for one thing. It is against the law. It is a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. It's a felony. And if some of the big guys in the IFBB started to get busted, I guarantee you that would turn things around fast, too. But they don't. For some reason, law enforcement has allowed it to go on for years. And as long as it continues.
A lot of them are law enforcement.
Yeah. All the kids look at these guys from the IFBB. Oh, no, Jess, isn't he great? Isn't Jay Cutler the greatest thing? And Lee Haney and all these guys goes all the way back. Because law enforcement hasn't followed up on it. They'll say they haven't got the resources for it. That's probably true. But the fact is nobody's enforced it. And so there's no penalty. And the kids see this and they say, well, geez, nobody's getting busted. So what's the big deal? I'm going to do it too.
Exactly.
Let me pick on Arnold Schwarzenegger for a minute. I've written about this too. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is probably as much responsible for the drug problem we have in sports than anybody because of the fame and fortune that he's gotten from it. Now, mm-hmm. Arnold Schwarzenegger would never have become Mr. Olympia if he hadn't used steroids. Are we agreed?
That's true.
Okay. If he had never won the Mr. Olympia, how would he have ever gotten in the movies? And he got in the movies based on his look, his enhanced appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Would he have ever met Maria Shriver in his wildest dreams if he hadn't been juiced?
No.
I don't think so. They weren't even running in the same circles. Would he have ever become governor of California if it wasn't for his Mr. Olympia, his movies, his Maria Shriver? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made comments that he's, against steroids. So not really, but, you know, the kids shouldn't use them. But every kid in America looks at what Arnold has accomplished and say, okay, I get the message. But, you know, don't take
wink,
him,
wink.
But just don't
yeah.
tell anybody. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway because Arnold did it. So why not me? And they do it. Kids imitate, they have their heroes, and they imitate their heroes. They see Arnold on TV, The Terminator. They see him up on his old movies of Pumping Iron, stuff like that. And they see him as the governor. And they're influenced by it. Yeah. They are.
Yeah, they are.
He's saying, don't do it, but, you know, do as I say, not as what I did. Anyway.
To the point where we're feeding it, like I was saying earlier, and I said this on previous shows, we're feeding it by watching this and then emulating and then saying, well, I don't want to be a part of it because that's not my life. But, you know, what tickled me when you had the NASCAR Olympia and the world title and the Jordan and everything else, there might have been 6 or 7 coaches that day of people posting about, you know, so-and-so, 6 or 7, and I'm being really generous with that. Or you had an active person at the event that was keeping people updated. When it came to the actual unnatural Olympia, you had people saying, who's going to win it this year? And these were all natural competitors that were basically updating everything about that show. Time after time after time, that whole day, who should have won, who didn't won, who looked the best. And I said, what? You're talking about everybody on stage could go to jail. And we're basically saying, this is the one that did who basically has the best chemist, who had the the best metabolism not to basically keel over on stage, who can basically take the worst chemical and still live through it. And when we're saying this is the, you have to put your hands up and wonder, how can you say this is the best when basically that person is out there, like you said, is doing illegal acts. If they were to do the raid of that show, even the top 25 would practically be hitting the limits of basically sustainable life and being thrown in jail just for their own health. And yet we're saying we're updating constantly that whole progress of the day, how who did what and how they look. And that's amazing to me. And then on a smaller scale, we actually, and I say we as a body of natural competitors, still go and do those shows feeding the very industry that's keeping everybody at odds with themselves in the smaller league.
And that's why you just hit the nail on the head, because that's why it's probably never going to change. Because the athletes have to take control of their sport. And natural athletes, I don't think, are going to take control of their sport. Because all they're concerned about is there a contest for me to compete in, to win a trophy, to win a medal, that's called natural, so that anybody who comes to see me knows I'm a natural athlete because I just won a natural title. They're only concerned with where they can compete, the venue and places to compete, organizations to compete in. They don't want to rock the boat. They're not going to get involved in the politics behind it or anything like that. If one organization doesn't test as well as it should, and one organization doesn't reveal the cheaters, and one organization has different drug test standards, no big deal. I'm just going to pick and choose which one of the 50-plus I want to compete in, but I'm not going to rock the boat. Because if I do, there might not be a place for me to compete.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it may not change at all. The athletes know. Every time I go online, I had a great discussion the other day with a bunch of the guys, and we were talking about this. And they all agreed, but you know what? They're not going to do anything about it. They're just the show must go on, and they're just going to let it ride, and nothing's going to change. And these organizers know that. These organizers know that of these different organizations. They know nobody's going to do anything about it. They can raise cane about it. They can talk about it. They can gossip about it. They can raise their hand and protest. They can do all this stuff, but it isn't going to matter. Nothing's going to change. Their organizations are going to keep doing what they're going to be doing. The organizations are the ones who really have to make the change. And until they finally make the decision to work together, I don't see anything really changing. But then, like I say, the biggest threat is the NPC. If the NPC decides to start a legitimate natural organization, and maybe they're listening out there, they will blow these other 50-plus organizations that right out of the water, because there'll be no reason for their existence anymore. They won't be able to compete. They won't be able to compete. And that's sad. That's sad, but
that is it's disgraceful.
And it's too bad, because there are some really great natural athletes out there. They deserve recognition. They've worked hard. There's some great people behind a lot of these organizations too. I can't speak to why they can't work with other people and why they can't get along with them and cooperate, but they won't. They just won't do it. So. It's harder now. When I started, there were only 3 or 4 organizations in the whole country, and for the most part, we got along, and everything. I put on the first WNBF show, and so we started the pro thing, and I thought, well, things are going to get better. But a lot of the natural organizations that came along after that didn't like Che Lo. They didn't like what he stood for. He was kind of following the model of Joe Weider in the sense that, he's very autocratic in a lot of ways, setting down rules and regulations, and people didn't like that. So they go off and start their own organization, or they pull out of the WBF and go their own way. It's been that way for a long, long time. But in the meantime, it is what it is. We have what we have, and we just got to, do everything we can to support the 50-plus organizations that are out there. It's all we have at the time, and make the most of it. And if the organizations haven't decided to do anything about it, fine. If not, then maybe we'll have 60 organizations next year. Who knows? We could be the first.
Shoot,
we could be the first sport to hit 100 organizations. Hey,
goals. I really don't want to laugh, but I don't know what else to do.
No, you have to.
It's crazy. It's really pretty crazy. It's sad. It's tragic, but it's crazy and it's funny. It's all those things all at once. to think that people just can't even sit down and get along with each other. I don't know. But you hit the nail on the head a little while ago. You're talking about Congress. It's the same thing. Nobody wants to compromise. Everybody's right and everybody else is wrong. And oh, boy. Anyway. Oh,
man.
So what's the latest gossip out there in natural bodybuilding? Anything good, bad, or otherwise?
Nothing better than we talked about tonight. That's for sure. I'm generally pretty pumped and excited about natural bodybuilding, but I still am. I still am. I mean, I recognize the shortcomings. I do, and this is not a secret. I don't think we've ever heard it quite so passionately or eloquently as we've been hearing it tonight, and I think we definitely need to, because we lament over and over again. Why isn't natural on the same scale as NPC? We have just as good of athletes, if not better, and they're doing it the right way. They're doing it a life-sustaining, healthy way. They're doing it in a way that, you know, several natural shows I've been in, they talk about being a family-oriented show. Well, it can be family-oriented because this is something that the kids can do also. I mean, we've got all these things. We've got all these perks. We just can't bring it together. We just can't bring it together. And that is why we're not on the magazine covers or this or that. And we do have organizations here and there that see the bigger picture and they're trying. But I think, you know, they feel like you also, as you said earlier, spitting in the wind, we're churning our wheels here, but we're not seeing any results. But I think, you know, with all of that being said, we just can't give up on it or nothing really ever will change. Chuck's got a tip at some point for sure. I mean, I don't know what that point is exactly,
but I'm hopeful that it really should start with the drug testing. Get everybody on the same page as far as a common banned substance list anyway. That's a huge step in the right direction. Everybody following the WADA standard. No exceptions for anything, straight across the board, WADA. That would help a lot. Secondly, start revealing the names of people who failed the drug tests. Put it on the websites, put it out in the media, and let people know who cheated. Now, they're not likely to go along with my one-and-done type theory. I think that would eliminate the problem totally, but they're not likely to do that. They're going to go for lesser penalties for stimulants and things like that. But they've got to have stiff penalties, and they've got to stand behind it. I'm going to use Major League Baseball as an example here, too, to show you how other sports have been hurt by it. Melky Cabrera, back in 2013 or 14, was playing with the San Francisco Giants. I don't know if you're baseball fans or not. But
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, he was the most valuable player in the All-Star game that year. And then right after the All-Star game, he got busted for using performance-enhancing drugs. So they suspended him for the rest of the season, so he gets a couple-month vacation. His contract expires. He turns around and signs a new contract for $17 million with another team. So what was the penalty? He didn't have to forfeit his trophy, his most valuable player award. He didn't have to forfeit his money that he got. He didn't have to forfeit the $17 million that he just got. What was the penalty? That's the problem. If the penalty isn't great enough, they're going to keep wanting to cheat. Now, he got a little bit of dirt splashed on his name because he got exposed in the media and so forth. Okay, but he signed a $17 million contract. What difference does it make? He can live with it. The problem is the cheaters don't have to give anything back. They don't lose anything by cheating. They lose a little bit of, maybe I got exposed. But in bodybuilding, I think it's different. If you get your name exposed out there as a cheater, it spreads pretty quickly. It really does. But we don't do that. Instead, we hide their names. We don't want to say who it is. It's hush-hush. Keep it a secret. I love the PNBA's Wall of Shame. I think that's fantastic. I think there should probably be some more names on that, but that's another issue. But at least Denny is exposing people out there, and I love it. He's been doing it for a long, long time. I don't see any of the other organizations doing that. Now, the IPL is giving the names and putting them in their magazines. But they're still kind of soft-pedaling it. If somebody cheats, they cheat. And if you get somebody who's an established bodybuilder who's been around for a while and he gets caught with something, come on, don't tell me that was an accident. That wasn't an accident. Hang on just a second, please. Yeah, go ahead and keep the conversation going. Don't let me.
Because I wanted to run across with Dez, too. There's this thing like he's saying, I get that, you know, much more needs to be done, and we definitely need to have the names out there. But
yeah.
I was surprised that we couldn't go with it, where the other organizations couldn't communicate with each other about this and say, we'll all agree that this person will not compete.
Right. But and some of them are doing that on a lesser scale, finally. It took a long time, but some of them are starting to do that now, which is great. But again, with 50-plus organizations, they're just going to, okay, if they get caught and nobody's going to talk about it, they'll just go compete with another organization. What was the penalty?
Yes.
No big deal. And then nobody's ever going to know why they switched to a different organization. They assume
and
they
can,
did it because
they can black market them, yeah.
Right, right. If somebody got caught in one organization and they just switched over to another one and nobody knows they cheated, then the public is going to think, well, there must be something wrong with the organization he just left for him to make a switch like that. They're not going to blame him. They're going to blame the organization.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. Absolutely.
And that's what it comes down to, yeah. And I hope with the listeners that, you know, it might sound dark, but you have to get to the truth in order to find a real solution. And this where we are right now. And, you know, like you said, with baseball, you know, we had the juicing era. They even gave it a name. And that's just but I remember Jose Canseco became the pariah, and he was the only guy telling the truth.
Yeah, that's right. And you get a lot of people that, for example, they admire Barry Bonds. Oh, he's Barry's my hero. Barry's the greatest home run hitter that ever lived. He's the best baseball player that ever lived. They don't care if he juiced. They really don't care. But again, if you make it personal, now that same fan of Barry Bonds, all of a sudden he's got a kid that wants to play baseball and everybody else is juiced and his kid isn't. That's not fair. All of a sudden the shoe's on the other foot. Sometimes the fans just need to grow up and realize that it can happen to them. That's all. But back to our sport, the drug testing has to be legit. You've got to have a common banned substance list, the WADA standard, a common and legitimate collection process. Because if the urine samples are not collected properly, you've got a problem already too. And then reveal the names of the cheaters. If you just did those things, you would start cleaning up things right away. And it would kind of force all the organizations to start working together, because they're all supposedly using the same standards. Now, they're still going to have differences in posing routines and differences in music and differences in
and there's no problem with that.
Criteria. That's not a big deal on that. But, you know, you can only be so different. Bodybuilding is still bodybuilding. Figure is still figure. Bikini is still bikini. That you can't change the rules that much. So they're going to be fairly much the same in that. It's the drug testing that's the bottom line. That's what's got to become more legitimate. It's got to be, and they've got to reveal the names of the cheaters. That is really, really critical. And but I've been just in awe, right? And with the IPL, how they've caught three people in the first 12 months and with a new organization, and I haven't heard a word about any cheaters in any other organizations. I think they have one with the PNBA, I think, but nobody else. So everybody else is clean? I don't know. What are they doing? What are they doing right? And the IPL is doing wrong. I don't know. I don't know.
No, you got a very valid point, and it's funny because it's almost like they have to be shamed, just like the cheater has to be shamed in the stop cheating. The organization need to be shamed in the basically saying, we know you caught them. Why can't we know who it is so we can start getting things changed around? And like I said, if you don't want to make it known for whatever reason for this person, then why aren't you saving us so we don't have to see them in another organization doing the very thing they got caught for just a little bit ago?
Yeah. Taylor Hooten, the Taylor Hooten Foundation, you're probably familiar with, and they had a Don Hooten was he goes around the country and speaks with parents and coaches and stuff and athletes about the dangers of PEDs. And at one point, he ran into a coach at a particular high school, and the coach said, well, we don't have a problem with those here. Not a bit. And Don looked him in the eye, and he said, well, you know, that's fantastic, because every other high school in the country has this problem. What are you doing differently here that we aren't doing, that the other high schools around the country aren't doing, that you don't have a problem with it? And, of course, the guy didn't want to talk about it. Of course he's got a problem. He just didn't want to talk about it. But some of the natural bodybuilding organizations have a problem, too. They don't want to reveal that their top athletes might be cheaters.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a reflection on them.
Yes.
So.
And it's also a fear that, you know, okay, we can't promote the people for fear of it. And I'm saying then get past that fear. You know, put them out there, and if they are that, then, you know, then you got to blast them. Because to save yourself, you have to basically expose the lie in the business. And if that's how you got to do it, and it, you know, you don't want it to become this pitchfork and torch, you know, rally thing. But it gets to the point where you have to understand that there is a dark side to it. And you know, even to hear that, it's comical to me to say, you know, well, you got to cross over to the dark side if you want to do this, and that. And I'm thinking, well, then you're already admitting that there's something wrong with this. And we keep saying, you know, like you said, we keep putting it to the side and putting it to the side and putting it to the side. Like it's something that has a right to exist. Now I'm saying if it's the devil in the room, why do we continue to bow down to it if we say that, you know, we believe in God? And that's just funny to me.
Now, why do natural athletes who really believe in natural athletes and what we're doing, why do they go to see an IFBB pro show and support the very thing they say they're against financially? How many from the IFBB ever come to your shows and watch them? What kind of support do they give you? None. Oh, you might have an isolated example here and there, but for the most part, none. And yet, we go and watch them because, well, it's just a choice. Yeah, it's an illegal choice. Just a choice. We got to get rid of that word. It's more than just a choice. It's killing the sport. It's already killed the sport.
It's killing people. Go a little bit further than that.
But he's my friend. I work out with him in the gym. He's a nice guy. He's a great guy. And he looks fantastic. Well, sure. Who wouldn't? How would you look if you were enhanced like that? Yeah, you would too. So why do you praise somebody for breaking the law? That doesn't make sense. I guess we idolize all of our criminals. We idolize Billy the Kid, and we idolize Bonnie and Clyde and stuff like that. You know, this hero worship, false heroes. But that's what they are, is false heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I think if anything, reaching out to the organizations, start thinking about the good of the sport and not your own pocket. Start thinking of how much power and influence you would have over the sport if you could all come together and work together as a team, because then you'd get the media exposure, you'd get the promoters, you'd get the sponsorships, all the things that you want would come together if you could just work together, if all the organizations could work together. That's really what it comes down to. And maybe the athletes need to put pressure on them to do it, but I don't see that happening. They'll talk about it a lot, but I don't think they're going to do anything, sadly, unfortunately. So we deal with what we have. We make the most of it, support the sport in every way that we can in the meantime, and hope for change.
There you go. And that's the best way to bring the show to an end, you know, is that the understanding that it has to be a grassroots movement. And, you know, I've always correlated everything together because, whether we understand it or not, everything ties together, with the acceptance that we all are tied together. And that's, you know, I use politics because basically that's what it comes down to. Anytime you deal with commerce or business, you're basically dealing with civics and how it goes about. And one of the things that has to happen is people, you need to unify under one banner to basically increase in any kind of nature or stature. And the one thing that we have, like you said, is a natural status, and there's a truth to that. And if you basically increase a lie, then you become unnatural in mind, if not in body. And that's how you bring home the whole thing about a natural athlete. Because, you know, I find it comical. Like, you know, I have mishaps at work and I have to go get drug screened. And I had to laugh because I'm thinking, so what? I got to go get drug screened. You know, there's no sweat or, you know, that nervousness. Like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I'm about to get busted because, you know, this, that, whatever. I laugh when that happens, and it was so funny to me, and this is just a personal story that one of my bosses
had sworn, you know, because of the life changes I had when I started competing, and just that overall look that you get of
yep.
being lean and in shape, and you can start showing the muscle that you've been working without all the fat. And he put
mm-hmm.
on a little post-it, make sure you check for steroids. And I was just crying laughing because I never even thought about that in the business realm about that, you know, because we all know it's an illegal drug, but I never knew
yep.
that businesses check for that. And she said, oh, sir, we check for that all the time. And I said, then wait, if you're checking for, you know, because that's when the ball starts rolling. Like, how can this organization exist if these are checked at work? Because I never, you know, made the correlation of, you know, roid rages on the job and somebody possibly being murdered or beaten to death because somebody just wigged out because they had too much gear in their system.
Well, for the athletes who might be listening out there today, too, I'm going to throw this question out. You don't have two PGAs. You don't have two NBAs. You don't have two MLBs. You don't have two NFLs. You have one organization representing all of these sports. We've got more than
mm-hmm.
50. Doesn't make sense. Ask themselves, why is that? We don't have to even discuss that. They just need to ask themselves, why is it that we have over 50 national organizations in bodybuilding? NPC doesn't have two. They have one. IFBB doesn't
mm-hmm.
have two. They have one. But we've got more than 50 natural organizations. Is that strength or is that a weakness? It's a weakness. That's not a strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's absurdity. So for the athletes out there, just ask yourself that question. Why is it that our sport has more than 50 different organizations? They can come to their own conclusions on that one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Dez?
But keep up the good work with what you're doing, getting the word out there, getting exposure. This is what these natural athletes need. They need all the exposure they can get so that the public knows out there there is an alternative. And then hopefully we'll tie up some of these loose ends in the sport as time goes on. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Dan?
You guys still there? Okay.
I don't know. I think
we
have well.
She's
I haven't
either.
Did we put her to sleep? Well, Jim, I'm going to say thank you for both of us and a great job with this one because this is what we needed to hear. You know, as much as we like to talk about all the good things, you have to acknowledge the truth of the matter. And like
yeah.
you're saying, you know, without the understanding that this exists. You know, and you know, I've talked about this several times about natural athletes, and I said it doesn't take a drug test to find one because you can find it in their lives. And those are the people we should be championing, and those are the people we should be putting out there. But I've found that many organizations are reluctant to do that because they're so scared of them, quote-unquote, jumping ship. And I understand it, but I'm thinking if you want to increase the natural community, then you're going to have to take the hit somewhere. It has to happen somewhere where there has to be some kind of compromise on the real side of it, not on the drug testing standard, just to keep somebody around. You know, I said
to
hell with them and let them go.
You got to stand on principle, not your pocketbook.
Yes. And, you know, we had a promoter a couple of weeks ago that was talking about that, and he said, you know, he basically had to cut ties with an organization simply because they weren't doing what they said. And, you know, he said, this is, he champions natural athletes. And he said, how can I, you know, do what I'm doing if basically on the top end, not the bottom end, the top end, where I'd like to follow through and get things straightened out, and I can't get things straightened out because we're not, like you said, we're not knowing the names. They're not even passing them to the promoters of the different shows about who has been caught and who is cheated. And these things were such a distraction for him that he couldn't even basically promote his show because he's thinking, I don't even know who's natural. And if it's getting to that point, then we have made an egregious error where it's just not even fathomable for a competitor to even contemplate competing at that. If you know, if you're wondering who's doing and who's not, then you're not really focused on the real goal of competition.
Well, yeah, and the athletes need to seriously question. The athletes are paying a lot of money to compete in these shows, and they're paying a lot of money for drug testing. Why aren't the athletes asking to see their written drug test results? I don't get it. They paid for it. If I paid for something, I expect to get something in return. They aren't even asking. They should start asking to see their written drug testing results, not from the organization, but from the laboratory that's testing them, from the polygraph examiner that's testing, a written statement that they passed the test. But nope, they just take their word for it. Pay their money.
Mm-hmm.
Easy come, easy go. Boy, it's a great way to make a lot of money on drug testing, and how do they know they're even testing? They don't know. They don't hear the names of the cheaters, and they never get to see their test results because they never ask for them. Doesn't make sense to me.
Part of it is they don't know that they can ask for it. It's just something that you do. It's something that you have to do. Sorry, guys, I was on mute earlier.
Right. But again, if the athletes, that's one way they can step in the right direction. If the athletes start asking to see their written test results, not just take the word of the organization, I want to see my lab test results. That's going to go a long ways right there, because then the organization is going to say, uh-oh, I'm going to have to go legit here because they're asking for their test results and I don't have them because they either haven't done the test or the lab isn't legit or something like that. But if they start getting the demand to see the test results, that's going to help a lot too. That'll make a difference. And that'll tell you whether your organization is legit or not real fast. If they can't give you the written results, there's something going on. There's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something smells. So that's easy enough. I paid $40 or $50 for a drug test. I want to see my results. They're going to go back and get it. You don't throw test results. WADA holds onto their drug test results or the drug test samples, the urine samples, for 8 to 10 years. They just busted 23 people here 3 weeks ago. They're now going to have their gold medals taken away from the last Olympics in 2012. Sometimes the technology takes a while to catch up, but it did for 23 people. The sad part is that the 23 people who legitimately won those gold medals are going to get their gold medals in the mail now. Now they don't get to stand up in front of the whole world and be acknowledged. And the people who had the gold medals taken away, that's all they lose is the medal. They got all the fame, they got all the glory, they got all the recognition, and they got the money from the endorsements in the last 4 years since the last Olympics.
There you go.
That's not right. So anyway, so athletes out there, if you're listening, start demanding more of your organizations. They'll do the right thing if you want the right thing. If you don't want the right thing, then it's going to continue just the way it is. You got to make it happen. All right.
Dad?
We could keep going about this for a few hours, couldn't we?
Oh yes, we could. Yes, we could, and I would never get tired of it.
Yeah. Did anybody call in at all, or are they just listening to us batter here today?
They're listening to us batter. I got two questions for you, Jim, if you don't mind holding on just a little bit longer. One that has been sent to me is the question of the natural athletes competing in unnatural shows. Doesn't that undermine the natural side? You know, that basically can't a natural competitor control his money if they can't control an organization and how they go about doing that?
Well, I have always believed that if a natural athlete competes in an untested show, he is again supporting the untested event. He's paid an entry fee and so forth, so he's basically supporting financially what he says he's against. Secondly, a lot of the natural athletes say, well, I can get in there and I can compete with the best of them. No, you can't. You might get lucky once in a while and win or place or something like that, but if you went in and won a major untested show, who's going to believe that you're natural just because you say so? Doesn't work that way. It's guilt by association.
Mm-hmm.
If you run with the juicers, you're going to be accused of being a juicer. It doesn't matter whether you deep down inside know that you're all natural. That doesn't matter. The public perception is you're a cheater just like they are. And you can't shake it because you're the one who competed in the show. You're the one who won or placed. You can't shake it just because of what you say. Doesn't matter. And you paid your entry fee to compete in the very thing that you say you're against. That doesn't make sense to me. It's just like buying a ticket to go watch the Mr. Olympia. People do that every year. We have some of our top natural athletes that go to the Arnold and go to the Olympia because they want to hobnob with these people, and they get their pictures taken with them and everything. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they even want to be identified with something like that? And then somebody sees them posing or standing beside shaking hands with one of these guys, what does the public think about that? The public doesn't know the difference between the two. The public thinks, well, they're both users because they don't know anything any better. Guilt by association. It's a real thing. It's a real factor.
Yeah, okay. And a very, very good answer. The next question is basically, and this is something that Des and I have been touching on by accident, but sponsors that have banned substances known banned substances in their supplements, doesn't that take away from the natural community?
Yes, it does. Drop them like a hotcake. But instead, everybody wants their money. You know, there's NCRs, what's the certification organization out there that certifies supplements? And you can go to that website and you can see what supplements are completely water clean, you know, exactly what it should be. And if they're not on that list, then you've got to watch it. The Taylor Hooten Foundation put out an article today that 25% of all the protein supplements out there in these health food stores right now are laced with steroids. 25%. They
wow.
just got a football. They just interviewed a football coach, and three of his top players have been buying pro hormones from a local health food store. He didn't know it. The kids probably didn't know it either. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. So unless they're on this certified list, which they can go on the website and find out, then I'd be very, very wary.
Do you have that website?
Oh my gosh, I think it's called NCR or something like that. In fact, I've written an article. I'll email it to you. There's a
yes, please.
Yeah, I'll email it to you. But basically, if you look on there, you can see all the major supplement companies, every organization or every supplement company that is certified drug-free is on that list. And if your supplement company is not on that list, then you got a problem. And you should be asking them, why aren't you on that list?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the big names are on there, which is good, but an awful lot of them aren't. But it all comes down to money. If you're putting on a show, if you're a promoter or something, you want that money coming in any way you can get it. So most of them don't care that much. Not a big deal. That's not their problem.
Yeah.
It is a problem.
Because
yeah.
the show, like
yeah,
you said, the show must go on. And the other two questions you covered during the show, so I won't touch on those again because we've basically gone in detail with that. And I think we had some listeners that came on a little bit later after you had already addressed it. So,
okay.
Jim, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And please give out the links and the sites that people can go to touch more upon, the Taylor Hooten, because I think that's new to a lot of the listeners. You know, you and I are in the business, so we do know
yeah.
the foundation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's a lot of listeners that are not familiar.
Right. I'll get those links off to you there, and hopefully we got a lot of people listening out there. They'll take heed. We gave the negative side of the sport today. It's still a great sport. I love it, or I wouldn't be doing this all these years in the first place. But I think we can do better. I know we can do better. And if we can
yes.
get everybody come together on the same page, we'll be unbeatable. It's going to take an uphill climb to be able to do that. It's going to take a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of sacrificing money and ego and power and things that some of these organizations have built up over the years. But they'll be bigger and better, and the sport will be better for it if we can work together. That's what it comes down to.
No pun intended.
So you guys keep up the good work of spreading the word. Keep spreading the word out there, okay?
Thanks, Jim.
Okay,
right, thank you.
Bye-bye now. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, I guess we wanted some real talk, and we got it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, this is something I've been thinking about all day, just, you know, knowing we were going to have Jim on, because it's something that basically exists, but because nobody wants to acknowledge it, it just grows bigger and bigger, and it is dominated where it shouldn't dominate anything. And that's, you know, where you have a good thing. You know, this has nothing to do with bodybuilding or lifting or anything. This is something that was happening at work, but I had made the connection and actually was able to get a breakthrough at work because I said, we came up with a great idea, and it was basically about, you know, everybody coming together to eat and not have different sections, different tables. You know, we had the Mexicans on one table, we had the Blacks on one table, we had the Whites, we had the Asians, we had, you know, all these different nationalities, cultures, eating separately when we were all in the same business. I said, well, why don't we just like have a community table? And that's where it started, you know, all those years ago. And now basically we have sections because we didn't
we didn't watch it. We let it get to a point where, you know, we started clicks, and it seemed like a lot of what we were doing was taking away from what the good that we had started. And it's because we never addressed that the disconnection was happening. And I just was so hurt because it was such a good idea, but because we didn't basically, you know, keep watch on it, it had gotten out of hand. And now we're basically getting it back together where people can enjoy each other's company and you don't have cliques or other things that keeps everybody from being together. And I think that's what's happened to natural bodybuilding, where you had a great idea of saying, why are we letting an illegal thing dominate a legal act, which is, you know, everyday life? People are supposed to be healthy and fit. And what better way than natural bodybuilding to see the best example of it? You know, you're on stage at basically in a small outfit that basically emphasizes all the hard work that your body has done, instead of taking a legal act and saying, well, bigger and better, but not healthy and not right. Isn't that where we are right now, and we can't agree on that? That's kind of crazy that it would be that way. And I said, well, then that's us in the lunchroom. We're all in the room together, but we're acting like we're all these different separate entities when we're all in the same business.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely... I don't know, I guess crazy is the word that pops up to me, because between everything that you've said and that Jim said, it wouldn't seem like it is such a difficult thing to be united on the essence of the sport that we're supposed to love.
Yeah.
It should be so simple, but yet it's not. It's regrettable that personalities have gotten in the way of that. But I still see the silver lining. Yes, we have 50 organizations, but some of that is because there are promoters out there, there are athletes out there that have identified the problem and they're trying to rectify. And so that's where the splintering is happening. So it comes back to the question that nobody has the answer for, and how do you pull that all together? How do you get personalities aside and figure out, you know, how can you do this for the benefit of the sport? I mean, if nothing else, to rally against and, you know, I guess the dark side, to elevate this sport for the benefit of the athletes. If you can't rally around your athletes, then why are you doing it?
But I think that's where Jim nailed it right on the head. Unless the athletes come together as athletes and realize that in order to have a truly natural status, we have to be naturals united, then the organizations don't matter. The promoters don't matter. Nothing else matters until we matter. And if we don't matter to ourselves, and if we keep trying to emulate the people that we say we're against, which is kind of farcical to me and comical at the same time, where you say, you know, as much as I love the comic book, I always understood I could never step into a comic book. And I can never be that flying person or that person that basically, you know, lifts the building and tosses it. And I never wanted to be that person. But I think if I were that person, can you imagine the responsibility that would go with it? And it seems like that's what everybody wanted as a kid, was to be that comic book superhero. Reality is reality. And our bodies are basically paying a price with the, you know, watching what's going on with it. It's just terrible that it keeps growing, even though we don't get that right. And the athlete comes and says, you know, this is what has to be in order for our children, in order for our neighbors, in order for our family, in order for our loved ones. Until we can get together in that mindset, then we're not really promoting natural bodybuilding. That's basically the thing in a nutshell.
True. Very true. Just real quick, and we can cover this on the next show too, because I know we're running way over time.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Just saw a comment saying that As much as I would love to believe in the system, there are too many variables, and it is possible for a wrong test. To end a person's career on a wrong test is a scary thought. It's a compassionate thought. But, I mean, just another piece of the puzzle, side of the equation. You know, we all have very strong opinions on this, but ours aren't the only one. But as difficult as it might seem to come together, I still think that
it will have
better interest too on some level to strengthen the organization by coming together with more solidarity. So I guess we'll see what will happen. But a lot to think about, and that's what we're here for, to have real discussions with real thinking to go behind the real discussions. And this discussion is not over by any means. So you have heard several opinions, and they may just represent what you feel is one side of the story. If that's the case, we want to hear your side of it too. So let us know, because we're not here to operate in a funnel.
That's right. And before we actually end the show, because like Ben said, we're definitely going over time. Jim is sending links, and we'll address those the next show Thursday with John Gorman. But he's going to be talking about a different part of natural competition. But we'll be covering that, and we'll also get those links out before we start getting in depth with him about our next show's topic. Okay, Ned.
All right. So thanks, everyone, for bearing with us tonight. It's been kind of a crazy show. We've had some audio difficulties. We've had some small dog difficulties. We've had some muting difficulties. It's been one of those nights, but you know how we go. So your body is a temple. Let's build it.